Lord, I thank you for the calling on his life and also the calling on Nicole's life. Lord, I thank you that they are pursuing your calling on their life. And so, Lord, we cheer them on in that. And so today, Lord, we just pray your anointing, what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'm going to invite Tim and Nate up. Tim, Sam, Nathaniel is here. I'm going to invite our lovely model of the day up. I said model. Can Mr. Andrew Humphreys? I had to embarrass him. So, I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to say a minute. Yeah, shake hands. A minute to draw Andrew's face the best you can. Go. Just to clarify, there will be a winner. I don't think you should focus on the hair that much. He doesn't have. Are you feeling confident, Tim?
No.
How are you feeling, Nate?
Great.
You're feeling really good. Wow. He's got confidence. That's not accurate, Nate.
I'm only seeing one half, so he's only got one arrow.
Okay, you've got 20 more seconds. Better hurry up. Do you think you're going to win, Tim?
If Nate quits, yeah.
Nate, how are you feeling? Do you think you're going to win?
Of course.
Of course. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, guys, stop. Okay, you guys can... How confident in this are you?
I feel strong.
How do you feel not knowing what Nate drew yet?
Pardon?
How do you feel about your drawing?
Not great.
Feeling pretty bad. So,
not my strongest suit.
If you come and have a look at Nate's drawing, how are you feeling now?
Better.
And you're feeling?
Confident. The whole day.
Okay.
Confidence doesn't waver.
Okay, you can go and have a look at Tim's drawing if you want. Okay. You guys can go and sit down there. Do you want to just drag this back over? Thanks, mate. Well. They want to see Tim's drawing. Okay. Thank you, guys. So, how would you feel if I told you that both of you lose in that situation? You have both failed in this situation. One of you have walked away feeling superior, and one of you have walked away feeling inferior, and, you know, neither of them honor God. The fastest way to kill something special is to compare it to something else. I have fallen into a trap of my own comparison or others' comparison before. We as people who see someone who might be like doing it pretty good, like they have a new car, they have a great family, they have a shiny new house, and we think, no, I want that. I want a new car. I want a new house. You love your car, you love your possessions until you see someone get better, and then you want better than that. The problem is this is a loop, and eventually you want best. You want the best house, you want the best car, you want the best family. People waste time trying to achieve the best, and what for? Worthiness, to be worthy of others? What a waste of time. I've spent too much time trying to prove my worth to other people and compare my worth to others, and the only thing it's done is push me further away from God. You know, let's take a step back in time. You think about, you know, the disciples and how perfect they would have been, you know. They wouldn't have to compare themselves to each other or other people. I mean, like, they directly sat under Jesus. Like, they listened to him directly. They would have been perfect. Yet, the sinful nature of humans, while being so close to something so perfect, like Jesus, still fails. So I'm going to draw from John 18, 20, and 21 for today's message. So Mary discovers the empty tomb and tells Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one that Jesus loved. Quote, the one that Jesus loved. Straight from the Bible. So John is over here comparing himself to Peter because he is the one that Jesus loved, not Peter. No, he knew Jesus better. Jesus loved him more, than Peter. You know, continuing in this passage. So Peter and the other disciple, because John doesn't like to refer to himself in person or as, you know, started for the tomb. Like they were racing for the tomb, but the other disciple was faster and outran Peter and got to the tomb first. But John didn't go into the tomb. Simon Peter came along behind him because, you know, you've got to clarify, Simon Peter was slower as well than John. John was like up here, Peter was down here. And he went straight into the tomb. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. So John, sorry, the one that Jesus loved in this passage, has told us how inferior and slower Peter is than him. He also mentioned that Peter entered the tomb first, almost to like point a finger like, hey, look how disrespectful Peter is entering a tomb. Like, who does that? And I only followed him. He did the wrong thing first. I followed him. And look how much better I am. Reading on to John 21, some of the disciples were, they pretty much went out fishing on a boat. And John and Peter were with them, and they went to go fish, and they didn't catch anything. So this is one of the times where Jesus actually appears to his disciples after he died. And he appears on the edge of the water, and he yells out to these people, he's like, throw your net over the right side of the boat. And so the disciples do, and they catch a bunch of fish. Well, knowing this, John says, it's the Lord, you know. John said it first, not Peter. He has to clarify, the one that Jesus loved saw him first and said, it is the Lord. So Peter, kind of like freaking out, like he just jumps straight into the water and starts swimming to the shore. I don't know, maybe he thought it was a race. So all the disciples, they, like, eventually, like, everyone comes back to... And we met with this interesting kind of conversation between Jesus and Peter. where Peter calls, like kind of calls out Peter, or Jesus kind of calls out Peter. See, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times, like very specifically three times. John makes sure he mentioned this in the book of John. As you know, Peter never gets things right. Jesus calls out Peter and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter's like, "Yes, yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus is like, "Feed my sheep." So Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Jesus says, Peter's like, "Yes, Lord, yes." He's kind of a bit taken back, and Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." And it happens one more time. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, feed my sheep." Now, while this is going on, gets to the third time, and Peter, who is directly like interacting with Jesus, kind of just, you know, looks over his shoulder. And guess who's standing there? The one that Jesus loved. And Peter says, "Why not him? Why doesn't he do it? Why isn't the one that's more prepared, the one that you love more, why doesn't he feed your sheep?" Jesus responds, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You must follow me. Don't worry about what other people are doing. You must follow me. Tim, don't watch others' journeys. You must follow me." We see in this passage Peter and John going back and forth. John compares himself to Peter and says, "I'm so good. Look at Peter. Like, you know, disrespectful, slow. Jesus loves me more." And then we see Peter with the thoughts of, I don't want to do this because he's more equipped. Jesus, why don't you just hand my calling to him? Comparison either makes us feel superior or inferior, and neither of them honor God. Why do we fall into this trap? Why did even the disciples fall into it? Our own sinful natures tempt us into these thoughts, and they trap us. All these thoughts, they begin to stack up. They begin to stack up and they begin to pile on, and we see more people doing things that, you know, we might not consider like achievable for us. It's kind of like a filter. Something bad happens and begin you only like see the bad. In these moments, we begin to wonder and question, when will I get my day? Will I get a job? Will I ever have a family like that? We compare ourselves to what others are doing or their achievements, and immediately we start to step further away from God. This isn't his plan for us. We have an enemy who notices these thoughts and begins to feed off them and fill our heads with more. And when that comparison begins, our contentment with God's plan ends. When you begin to compare yourself to other people, your contentment with your God journey ends. You think, I want to do better. Comparison breeds resentment, begin to resent people, and resentment brings hate, bitterness, malice, jealousy, envy, the list goes on. It's crazy how something which is so common in our world and that we have access to on like social media, like commercials and like celebrities, you think, I want to be like them, can be pretty much the beginning of our undoing. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. However, it also talks about the act of the flesh. And everything I've listed as a byproduct of resentment falls into the act of the flesh. And the outcome of them is in verse 21. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live in comparison and resent other people will not inherit the kingdom of God. I've lived my life watching what others do, how great or small, and I wonder how much I've missed. How much have we missed in our own lives by watching what others are doing in theirs? I have to forcibly have my phone away from me when I'm with other people or face down, otherwise I'll sit there and I'll stare at it. And I miss the blessing that God's placed in front of me. You know, when I meet up with other people, honestly, spending time with my wife, I have to like try and get my phone away from me, otherwise I'm gonna miss that time. Especially in the last week, it's been crazy, work and everything. What blessings are you missing in front of you because your focus is elsewhere? When I ride or I rode on my motorcycle, I couldn't focus elsewhere or look around because I'd hit a tree, I'd hit a wall, I'd hit another person. If I neglected my own journey to watch what others do, I'd run the possibility of ruining another person's journey. I don't want to follow another person and be a stick or a giant log in the road for their journey. While preparing for this sermon, I was reflecting on a sermon I heard back in 2017 by Craig Groeschel. He talked about the idea of running your own race. Now, the ironic thing is, I began to remember how he did it and how he covered this topic, and I wanted to do what he did. This made me scared, like writing this sermon. I had doubts last night that I was like, do I just change everything? Like, is this okay? I'll never be as great as him, my thoughts, or preach to the amount of people he does. I'll never be able to preach to the people the way he does. So what's the point? Well, the point is I won't be able to preach the way he does, people the way he does. I will never be as great as him. Because God's made me to be as great as me. I can't compare myself to him because God has prepared me in specific ways for a specific plan for me. God has prepared you for a specific calling, specific to you. Jesus is calling and preparing us for a specific purpose. Are you going to stop following other people and answer that call? I've got three things that I want you to take out of today, if anything. Stop looking over your shoulder. Stop watching what others are doing. We as God's people need to stop following and comparing our lives to others and truly follow God and his plan for our life. You can only truly step into God's divine intervention for you if you stop following other people and follow Jesus. Acknowledge God has a plan for you and your life. Your life has purpose. He does. God is preparing you and has prepared you for a specific plan, and it's our job to step into that. No one else can do what God is preparing for you, so don't try to hand it off. There might be people who seem to have it all together a bit more than you, but still, God has something else for them. Don't try and hand your calling off to the other people because that's your job. Like, God's preparing you for that specifically. Challenge the thoughts of comparison. This is something I struggle with a lot, honestly. Don't live a life watching what others are doing. Stay on track, follow God, and challenge those thoughts when they arise. You have a God who... You have a God who has and is preparing something specifically for you that no one else can do. Challenge those thoughts that tell you you can't do it. Now, I'm going to invite the band back up. Who here has been a victim of comparison in some way, whether they've put it on themselves, whether somebody else has kind of forced you into that unwillingly? Who here watches social media and thinks, I want to be like them? I want to do that. I want to do that. I want that house. I want that car. I want that marriage. I want that life. Who needs to readjust today back onto their own God journey and stop watching what others are doing? Who's content or happy with the journey God has them on at the moment? We want to celebrate with you, honestly. It's a tough thing. Who or what are you going to let decide your worth today? Are you going to follow Jesus or are you going to follow other people? You're not going to feel whole following other people. We must look out, like turn our eyes towards Jesus and follow him. Last question is, who here is yet to know God, or who needs to re-come into a relationship with God? This is a perfect place to forget about what anyone else thinks of you, put behind any burden of comparison in your life, and begin your faith journey with a God who loves you regardless of who you are in life, where you are in life. He loves you for who you are in a world that doesn't sometimes.